And thank you to all of you for the way in which you have participated in that song service. It's been a wonderful day today. I thank Brother Bradshaw for a beautiful lesson this morning, dealing with the seed. And we all have been blessed from the beauty of that lesson this morning. You know, you just feel good. Today had an extra hour of sleep. You know, Bible, over in Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 13, God made the sun stand still. And the day stood still for at least an hour overnight. It gave us a little bit extra rest. So we ought to all be feeling pretty good about now. We just thank God for giving us yet one more day. I want to remember Brother Gibbs, as was mentioned this morning, as he is in a gospel meeting, the Norris Road Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee. Always want to be mindful of him as he goes about to teach and preach the Word of God. I want to direct your attention to the text that was read. Actually, going over to Luke, the 14th chapter, and I want to start with verse number 1. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place. And thou began with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they all bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. As we continue in our theme about the prolific parables of Christ, I would like to lift a theme from verses 8 through 10 of the text. And I want to use the topic, the honor of humility. The honor of humility. We live in a day and time that is sparked with pride. There's political pride. There's racial pride, both positive and negative. There's pride in the intellect of individuals. Pride in their knowledge of things which they feel that they know. And then there's just individuals who feel that based on their accomplishments and based on their status, they have pride within themselves within that regard. But Jesus uses a time in which he was invited to come in the presence of a bunch of heavyweights to teach a lesson on humility. This is a fascinating text to me as I studied it. And I hope you'll appreciate what Luke wrote here as well. But look at what takes place. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day," the Bible said, they watched him. First of all, it would be very unusual for the chief of the Pharisees to invite Jesus into his house. That alone would have been suspicious, because the Pharisees, if we go back and look throughout the scriptures, one of their chief goals was to find a way to implicate Jesus. It would have been unusual for them to invite him to come without some ulterior motive. But here, Jesus is invited to the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread up on the Sabbath. But look at what takes place. As he was there, the Bible said they watched him. They weren't just watching him to see how he ate his food, but they were watching him for another reason. And the word "watched" is significant from the fact that the Greek word that is used here for "watch" is a word that means to watch closely with a sinister intent. We can see this word "watch" in a couple of other places. In Mark chapter 3, and look down to verse number 2. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 2. But I'll just read from verse number 1. The Bible said, "And he entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand." And the Bible said, "And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him." We find it again in Luke, the 6th chapter, and looking down at verse number 7, Luke chapter 6 and verse number 7, The Bible said, well, let me just start at verse number 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. There was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. We find it again in Luke chapter 20 and looking down to verse number 20. The Bible said, and they watched him. Not only did they watch him this time, the Bible said, they sent forth spies, which should feign themselves or which should disguise themselves as just men, that they might take hold of his words so that they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And you know, just as they were watching Jesus, I thought it good to put a side note here. People are watching us. I need to be mindful of the fact that as I've declared to be a child of God, as I've declared to be a Christian, as I've declared to be someone who even as a member of the body of Christ, of the church of Christ, there are people that are watching me. They're watching me in the workplace. They're watching me as members of a family. They're watching me on Facebook and Instagram. They're watching me. And many times they're watching just like the Pharisees were, watching with a sinister intent. And we need to govern ourselves accordingly and carry ourselves in such a way that as we're watched, we put forth an example that is fitting and truly befitting for the life of a Christian. But as we look at Jesus here again in Luke chapter 14, here he was in the house of the chief Pharisee, one of the chief Pharisees, to eat bread on the Sabbath. The feast was on the Sabbath, and Jesus had done many great works on the Sabbath. And it seems interesting that as Jesus had been invited to this place, and the many times with the history of the Sabbath, the Jews would many times eat two meals during the weekdays, but then they'd have three meals on the Sabbath. And that third meal was one that normally took place after worship. It was a special occasion. It was a feast. And individuals were many times invited to the feast, and many times onlookers would come and be a part of that large feast. And as Jesus is here invited to this feast, a very unusual invitation of the chief priest inviting the Son of God, one who they wanted to implicate, it almost seems like it was a setup. Look what it says. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. In the midst of all these high men, there in one of the chief Pharisees' house, isn't it interesting that there just happened to be in front of him a man with dropsy? That's why they're watching him. They're watching him to see what he's going to do on the Sabbath day. Jesus, as I said just a few moments ago, had done many great works on the Sabbath day. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 38, he healed Simon's mother-in-law. In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 6, he healed the man with a withered hand, as I showed you just a moment ago. In Luke chapter 13 and verse Number 14, he healed a woman who had been crippled for some 18 years. Then in John chapter 9 and verse number 14, he healed a man who had been born blind. And now, here he was in the chief Pharisee's house, a man sitting before him with dropsy, and the Pharisees watching him to see what he was going to do. And then look at what it said in verse number 3. It said, and Jesus answering. You know, it's interesting. The text doesn't say anything about them asking him a question. He wasn't answering their words. He was answering their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. The Bible said, and Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They're sitting there watching. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? If they said no, they had no case against it. If they said yes, they would have lied, because the law did not condemn such acts of mercy. Jesus was prepared for the answer either way it went, because he states and looks at them and said, now listen, which one of you, if you should have an ass or an ox fallen in the pit, would not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? He asked them the question again, or the first time in verse number 3. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And verse number 4, the Bible said they held their peace. And then he answered them again, saying, which one of you wouldn't go and grab your animal out of the pit on the Sabbath day? And then the Bible said in verse number 6, they could not answer again to these things. You know, one author pointed out the fact that there's no record throughout all of Scripture when Jesus posed a question to the Pharisees that they were able to come back with a successful retort. Every time he shut them down, because he's the master teacher. And here, Jesus shut down their plan to entrap him. Then he shut down their ability to answer him. And not only that, he uses their thoughts, not even their words, he uses their thoughts to condemn them. And now, as he has their attention, they're unable to speak, he now puts forth a parable. Look what he says. In verse number 7, he put forth a parable to them which were bidden, those that had been invited to come to the house of the chief Pharisee. And then he wanted to use this parable to mark how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, look what it says, when thou art bidden to any man to a wedding. Now this is interesting. Jesus is at a Sabbath day meal, but he turns and says, now if you are ever invited to a wedding feast, it seems like Jesus made a change here and used the wedding feast because he wanted to put forth some truths that would be beneficial to those that were there. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest rooms, lest a more honorable man than thou be bitten of him. And then he says, and he that bade thee, and him say, come and say to thee, give this man place. Give this man place. And thou began with shame to take the lowest room. When you look back at the history, you see, during this time, in Jesus' day, when a person was invited to the right home and seated in the right places and placed in the presence, close presence of the host and in an elevated room, it elevated your stance. It elevated your stance in the social ladder. It's more than likely as these individuals came to this feast, they were all looking for the chief seat. They were looking to be in the presence of the host. They were looking to be around people with power. But Jesus said, listen, if you go to a wedding feast, don't seek the highest room. Don't seek the place of the greatest honor. Don't always seek to be in a place where you could be seen and it seems like people are looking up to you and it seems like you're getting all the attention. Don't seek to be in a place and where people will ooh and ah about you. Look at yourself. I wonder who is that? He said, in contrast to that, I should want to put myself in a place. I should want to put myself in a position to where the one that bids me is able to take me up to that upper room. I don't want to exalt myself. I don't want to have to, you know, try to pretend I'm a somebody. Let me just go and humbly take my place. And then when the one that had bid me to come calls me to come up to a higher room, oh, that's a wonderful feeling when somebody comes and says, well, listen, you don't have to stay down here. Come on up. Come up here with me. Jesus is talking about humility. These individuals, one of the problems with the Pharisees is that they were full of pride. Jesus chastised them on several occasions. They loved to go out and pray to be seen of man. They weren't content to pray in their closet. They wanted men to see them. They wanted men to hear their glorious words. They wanted people to be impressed by their presence. And Jesus saw the fact that they were choosing the chief rooms, and Jesus consequently saw the fact that they were of a mindset that was based on pride. He said, listen, that's not really the way to go. You know, the application is for us. When it comes to service in the kingdom of God, it's not about being way up high. It's not about everybody knowing what I'm doing. It's not about my name being mentioned or my name being highlighted or my name being glorified, if I can use that word. It's not about that. God has a place for his king in his kingdom for individuals who have humility. And it makes no difference what amount of ability, what amount of knowledge, what amount of technical skill that I might have. No, that makes no difference. It makes no difference about how little knowledge or how little technical skill that I might have. Let me just give myself honestly and humbly to God. You don't have to try to go straight for the upper room. And you know, I believe it could be said that as he's talking about the bidder here or the one that bids, Jesus is talking about himself. The great banquet that he has, that all of us are a part of. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And let me tell you, when he prepares a table, and when he invites us to be a part of it, that's truly an invitation. Have you ever invited yourself to something? You come in, you kind of feel like you always want to be invited. And you see, the thing that Jesus is saying, let me give you the bid. Let me give you the invitation. Let me lift you up. Let me take you to the higher room. Jesus calls on us to be individuals that exercise humility. There is honor in humility. Someone said that pride and power is a fight for the top, but honor and humility is a fight for the bottom. And when you fight for the bottom, one of these days, Jesus himself will take you to the top. When I look at this in James chapter 4, and looking at verse number 6 through 10, James chapter 4, verse number 6 through 10, James speaks beautifully about this idea of humility. And I think it's fitting for us to look at this. In James chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God does what? Resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud. God is going to put up barriers for the person that is caught up in their own pride. But he giveth grace unto the humble. Then he said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Don't submit yourself to yourself. Don't submit yourself to your own pride. Don't submit yourself to this high and lofty opinion of who you are. Just humbly offer yourself to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then he said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And then I love what James inserts here. He said, be afflicted and mourn. What are you talking about, James? Instead of being so consumed with pride, mourn the fact that there are some things about me that I need to change. There's always something about me that I need to improve. There's always something about me that I can improve upon and make better so that I can present myself a more fitting sacrifice to God. Be afflicted. Mourn. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You know, some folk are so consumed by pride and by status, that is always laughter. There's always a false sense of joy, a false sense of security. But every now and then, I ought to look at myself and say, you know, I'm just not where I need to be. Then look what he says in verse number 10. He said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And then he said, and he will lift you up. The honor of humility. And I look at this further, going back again to Luke chapter 14, and I'll be finished in just a few minutes. That's what all preachers say, don't they? When we look down again to Luke chapter 14, in verse, again, he said, in verse number 10, he said, when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that had bade thee come, he might say to thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. He said, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, there are reasons for me to be humble. No man is wise in the ultimate sense. There are some things that I know, but there's a whole lot that I don't know. That's a reason for me to be humble. No man is wise in the ultimate sense. No man is good in the heavenly sense. I cannot claim goodness in and of myself. Any good that I can claim is based on the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm not wise in the ultimate sense. I'm not good in and of myself in the heavenly sense. And then no man is powerful in the eternal sense. There are a lot of individuals that get caught up with power. Oh, I'm powerful. I can do things. I can get things done. I can accomplish things. I have people that answer to me. Amen. I have money that I can use to accomplish what I want to accomplish. But no man is powerful in the ultimate sense. You know why? Just die. Amen. Your power, your money, your influence, people will be fighting over it. That's a reason for us to be humble. And Jesus, when he talks about this idea, don't exalt yourself, humble yourself. There's honor in humility. But then Jesus turns and makes another thought in light of this experience and in light of this gathering. Look at what he said. In verse number 12, he said, then said he also to them that bade him, he said, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, he said, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. You know, I thought about this. You know, there are a lot of people today who will actually choose a church not based on doctrine, not based on teaching, but rather a church based on who attends there. Who are the movers and shakers at that church? Who are the influencers? Who are the politicians or powerful people of note? Are there some folk there that I can make a business contact with? Amen. Here at Greenville, we have a lot of people who are successful. But then we also have a lot of people for whom the struggle is real. Jesus is saying, don't make a priority of those people who can recompense you. Don't make a build your hopes and build your priorities around those people. And I would say to us as a congregation, we cannot be a congregation that's based on class, but we ought to be a congregation that's based on compassion. Jesus, I got a feeling kind of made him sick to the stomach, what he saw there. all of the indulgence, all of the feelings and the thoughts that were based on things that were far removed from those things that he felt were important. The church can't be a place that's based on relationships, that's based on worldly things. You know, I watched this show. Some of you may have watched it. Any of you watched this show called Greenleaf? It's a show about a church. And I find myself saying, I don't need to watch this. But it's a show about church, and it shows it. It talks about this family, the minister and the minister's wife, and the son who's also a minister, and other members of the family that call themselves ministers. And it's talking about the backbiting and the stabbing and all the power plays and all the other things that are taking place in the name of a church. And I thought, boy, if somebody's watching this and they're thinking about going to church or not, they watch this, they're going to say, I can go ahead and stay in the world. The church needs to maintain a mindset about people that looks upon them in the way that God looks upon them. Jesus says in verse number 13, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Don't just invite people to the feast expecting, well, I invited them this time, and I'm sure they're going to invite me next time. Invite some folk, he said, who cannot recompense you. As he said in verse number 12, invite some folk that don't have, as it were, anything to offer. And that's where it should be with us as members of the body of Christ. And I know we get comfortable in our relationships, but I want to challenge all of us as I challenge myself. Let's get out of our comfort zone. Let's get out of our cliques. Amen. And let's reach out to other members and brothers and sisters in this body. Let's allow ourselves for this fellowship to be strengthened. Amen. With much more meaningful and real relationships. That's what Jesus is saying here. Then look what he says finally. In verse number 14, he said, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. The ultimate honor of humility is going to be seen by each one of us at judgment. God is going to honor us in that day. God is going to exalt me. He's going to take me to that upper room in that day. He's going to tell me to come up a little higher in that day. I'll be in his very presence in that day. I'm going to be recompensed in that day. I'm going to be again honored in that day. I'm convinced that there's no earthly honor or status or position or recognition that will be equal to the honor of eternity with God, but I'm only going to be able to achieve it with a mindset of humility. That's a lesson. Honor of humility. Oh, when I look at, it's very easy sometimes to look at stories in the Bible and look at folks and even look at here in Luke chapter 14 and say, boy, I tell you, those Pharisees were some terrible people. But you know, sometimes if we look a little closer, we find a little bit of ourselves in there. And that's why Jesus gave us these teachings to help us. Let us have honor by being individuals that express humility in our relationship with God. You know, one of the ways that we are truly humble or truly show humility is to look at ourselves honestly. Don't allow myself to get caught up in pride. And if there's something about me that's wrong or amiss, I need to be humble enough to recognize I need to make a change in my life. Don't get caught up with pride. They said later on here in Luke, Jesus is going to deal with the Pharisee and the publican. Boy, that was a Freudian slip, wasn't it? God know what I mean. In the Republicans here, I wasn't trying to do that. But God is going to deal with it. And it's just very important for us to recognize that we need to be humble about ourselves. If there's something wrong or amiss, I need to make it right. There might be some here tonight. There's something wrong or amiss in your life. Don't let pride convince you, well, I'm all right. I'm better than so-and-so over here. So I'm okay. No. If there's something wrong, humble yourself, examine yourself, and make it right. Come forward. Let us pray for you. Ask for forgiveness and ask God to help you. There might be someone here tonight as a member of the Lord's body that is not a member of the Lord's body. Don't allow pride to tell you, I'm all right the way I am. Salvation is in the church. It's not just about being good. I already told you that no one has enough good in and of themselves. The only thing that can make me good, if you will, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Hear the word of God, believe the same, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, go down to the water of the grave of baptism, rise up to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
And from that point on, you have the ability to walk with him, and you have the ability to enjoy the fruits of being in his kingdom as you humbly walk for the rest of your time on this earth. If there's anyone that has a need, we ask you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Humble thyself in the sight.